Before I didn't understand. But now I do it, of course. The Lord was right. He said, if this had not happened, you would have continued in what you were doing and you would have died at the age of 55. And the man finally died at the age of 88 or so. He said, your hand will get quick healing. He said, you only become 99% healed. And he told the Lord, what about the other balance 1%? He said, I need to leave that one there to remind you of this experience. He broke his elbow. He got healed rapidly. He said, but persistently, there was a 1% healing that he never got. What was the reason? He said, the Lord said it will remain there to remind you of this experience. What am I saying? I'm not saying God is the author of troubles. I remember long ago, Miles Morrow preached that message. The pastor in the church where he preached it did not understand. And he came to antagonize the message after Miles Morrow finished preaching. Whew. By that time, I was gaining understanding. Even if I didn't have the understanding, when I finished hearing Miles Morrow, I knew what he was saying. But Miles Morrow was saying it, and people were thinking that the man was saying that God loves afflicting people. Did I say he does? No. I said he often lives as a barometer. So we don't sit down in the midst of affliction and say, this is my cross. No. Affliction is never the cross. Your cross is the responsibility and the duty that God has placed upon your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? What is a cross? The cross is the duties and responsibilities that often are difficult that God gives you in life. Let me give you an example. I like to use money because Jesus used to use money also. Things that people can easily relate with. Talk about the field, the crop, and everything. You are in a place. You are forming the lives of young people. And all they give you in a month is 40K. And a door opens. 200,000 naira a month to start. You're about to step out into that door. Then suddenly it hits you that you're about to abandon some seeds you are sowing. There are two of you. Your friend leaves it, takes the other job. He starts collecting 200K. 3 months later, he has bought one old Camry, feeling very pipe with himself. And as you're walking on the road, because you can't buy it, your salary is so small, you are trekking as a cross that you are carrying. Did you hear what I said? It is not as if you are being punished. It is because for the assignment that God has given into your hand, that God gave into your hands at this particular point in time, you cannot afford certain things. And God is interesting. And he keep on telling Christians this thing. Don't think once you just obey him, he'll just give you 3 times the car that the other guy got. No lie. Obedience is manifested in no car. That's what God could do. Listen, yeah, you must get the point. If he always quickly rewarded with one big motor, who no go away? How will he separate men from the boys? There will be no way. Because everybody will not say, just obey God. After 2 weeks, he will respond. So God, no, listen. I pray. That's what this teaching about. That you will get to the point. No, Paul says something. I have learned how to be the same despite the circumstances. Listen, if you get to that point, let me tell you what happened to you in life. This will happen to you if you keep on following the word of God. Do what I want to say will happen to you. A time will come, you will see plenty money and you will wonder, why are people dying for this nonsense? You will have it won't matter to you. One young man came to see me once. Well, I went to preach somewhere. And he felt like he was so happy he met me that day because we ended up chatting. He's a professional colleague and he has some ministry issues that he wanted to discuss with me with. He told me where he served. Now, when we were speaking, he didn't have any material things. Just finished youth service, just a church boy, just finished youth service. All right? Good Christian young man. Where he did his youth service, he served in the house of a very rich man. All right? The man asked a doctor and they gave him. So for his personal staff, he had a personal doctor for all of them. He said in that house, that was where he got cured of the love of money. He didn't even love money before, but when he got there, he stopped love. Like, money lost. He said he saw so much of it. He said if you see a Toyota, no matter what I want, it's a Toyota. You know it's carrying one of the security details. You know, it's not one of the men in the house that's inside. You see a brand new Camry. He said, you know that now mobile police is inside. He said, because those men didn't used to drive Camrys. The cars they drove were Maybachs. Are you getting my point? Rolls Royces. Look, the Rolls Royce that goes for £250,000 for one. A Maybach is $350,000 for one. A brand new Toyota Camry is $26,000. So if you want to do calculations, so let's get it right. So you know we are talking car. We senior each other. Yeah. By the time he finished, do you understand? 7 days for 1 year. He too. He didn't have. But when he sees what people are fighting over, he will just be laughing. He said, look at poverty. Look at poverty. I had a similar experience too. God did. Maybe that's why God brought him to listen to me also. I had a similar experience. Mine was not that grandiose, you know. It wasn't that big. But I had a similar experience. I lived with people that were wearing shoes for 50,000 naira a pair when doctors were earning 5,000 naira a month. Yes. When I finished service, doctors were earning 5,000 naira a month for a regular job. If you were a hustler, you could come up with 15,000. You worked in 3 places and there was no rest for your soul. Yet, men will wear jackets of 12,000 naira. Men will wear shoes, 50,000. Women will put weave on of 10,000 naira. And I was in the midst. After that time, I put up my hands to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not asking for money. I'm just swearing to you I will never chase it. Whether you give me or not, I won't chase it. If you don't want to bless me, please give me the grace to die happily in poverty. But as to suffer, you know, when you say money is in Lagos, that's why I laugh at them. I say, we want to die. Walk. Those that say, go slow, go too much, go slow in Lagos. There's no go slow. If you have a good car, a driver, an air conditioner, there's no go slow. He said, what do you mean? You won't notice. You can just sit down there. Your work, they go, you're on the phone. So what happened? 3 hours. You know, it's people inside Molu. Now Lagos, where I say, I'm done with heat rash. Lagos. That city is wicked. No wonder Lagos was rated. No, listen. This was a recent survey. The worst city on earth to live in. No, Lagos. And it's not even bad now that time. Goes to everything. One day I sit down inside Molu. I look. I said, this is real suffering. I just saw the people. I was there, but I said, this is real suffering. Inside goes to the heat, they blew like this. One man, heat, he began to vomit. I said, yeah. When they come out in shed, see heat rash. I said, this is affliction. It must not arise the second time. I'm leaving this Lagos for these people. Hey! My God! I saw suffering. When those people run, they say, they go Lagos, go find money. I say, may you find that money, because if you don't... You had better find that money. Oh God, my experience that day was interesting. Then I go to rich house, see people they talk for phone. Okay, how much is it? 2.5 million. All right, that is, I could just look them. Honestly, after all that experience, I put up my hand like this. I said, God, I hereby receive grace to die in poverty if you will not bless me. But as a struggle like these people, no. That was the season the word of God now came to me powerfully. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So when it was time to leave Lagos, I had no problem. People said, you left Lagos. I had to leave. Do you know the kind of thing I saw there? I saw two conflicting worlds. After that, I realized that if God doesn't bless you in life, You are just. No wonder the Bible said the blessing of God they make rich, and they don't add any sorrows. Anyway, you know, I digress into that. What I was saying that, listen, God will bless you so much at the time in life, eh? You go look the money, you will have no respect for it. That young man, wasn't even him personally that got that money. He just saw that those who really have it don't labor. Which is exactly the same thing that I saw. That if God blesses you, if God blesses you, you will wonder why people are suffering. That's why are they laboring? And believe me, you will get to that point one day.
Amen.
For many people here, it is sooner than you thought. Amen. You know, this is interesting part. The moment you make up your mind and say, God, grace will die in poverty if you won't bless me, that was the very next day. Abundance will begin. But God must get to it. No, your heart must be in a place where plenty, small, it won't move you. It will not move you. And listen, that's exactly what God wants to do in your life. Are you getting my point? So what am I saying? Every time you are reacting because of affliction, it's a sign that you have not reached there. Every time your friend phones you and says, George, how now? I will come, party day my house. You rush there. Waiting with a wash now. See, I'm there. You see a brand new Camry. Depression enters your soul. God is using that to tell you, you never reach there. Every time somebody is celebrating a material achievement, and you are getting depressed, not because you are jealous, but because you are feeling like, God, why are you so slow? Do you understand? It's a sign to you that you never reach there. We have said many things here and there, but one of the things, all right, that will help you is to, in your heart, first, of course, you now understand what God is doing. You know where you find joy from? Let me quickly say that. You find joy from the word of God. David said, I rejoice at thy word. As the one, like the person who finds great money, great treasure. That's what he says. Do you understand my point? But what natural human beings do is they will rejoice at the brand new car. As him that got a brand new car. You understand what I'm saying? We rejoice at a material achievement. That's what makes human beings joyful. But David said, these are the people who Christ is formed in them. Their joy does not come from material things, but it comes from the word of God. Once they discover the word, joy comes into them. If your joy is still ignited or quenched by the presence or absence, respectively, of material things, you have not reached there yet. I'm not saying God is a God of affliction. Did I say so? No. The Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servants. But more importantly, he knows what true riches are. Therefore, he makes sure that his servants get the true riches first. First! The true riches. True riches. And if God says something is true, it is true. Why am I saying all of these things? You know, we've been talking about growth in grace. That believers in Christ Jesus, this is your assignment. Let me get back to you so I can quickly summarize this. I don't want to spend long teaching today. The word of God must be the desire of your soul. I've said this in 2 days running now. This is the third day. But I can't say it enough. I don't mean, listen. How many of you have ever tasted chloroquine? May you not taste chloroquine again in Jesus' name. For the amount of bitterness to the soul via the mouth. You know how difficult it is? But oh boy, when you've been getting malaria those days, you go take a move. Because for the joy that they set before you, you endure the bitterness. You train yourself. If you see a person who has been chronically ill, they begin to enjoy the medicine. They are still bragging, I don't like to take medicine. You never sick. That's a matter of fact. You have never been sick. What am I saying? There's nothing like, I don't enjoy this kind of book. Which one is I don't enjoy this kind of book? Who said you should enjoy it? There's no enjoyment in it. This is life. Peter said, Jesus looked at Peter and said, you guys, you are going to? He said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus just gave them a bitter dose of a bitter medicine. So much that everybody else vanished. Well, I don't know what he said. Go and read John chapter 6. They all left. They all said, if you swallow that one, the other people said, no, I know it though. Said, this one hard. This one hard though. This man won't kill himself. Share himself a plate made with the chop, Abby. Everybody said, no, I know the. You see, they, I know the one by one. Listen, if you are always celebrating big congregation as a pastor, be careful. If you are not ready to lose the congregation, you are not serving God yet. Because Jesus preached a word. Jesus preached a word and congregation scattered from thousands down to 12 and a few extra. What am I saying? They asked Peter, are you going? He said, how can we go? As bitter as the pill is, it is still the word of eternal life. So they stopped with him. I've seen, look, there are preachers that when they are talking, I almost they vex. There was one man, he annoyed me so much. When I was playing him in the car, I told my wife, listen to this. So the man who said this, said this. After he said many things, I stopped it. I said, what he was saying, in effect, my sister. Now I gave her like two lines. He said, why does he have to use so many words? I said, I don't know what's his problem. What I'm saying is that after we discussed the man was giving me a lot of headache. Trying to listen to him was such an affliction to an adult soul. I couldn't get the point. So finally, my wife said, wait, why are you listening to him then? Just say, I'm going. And I said, sweetheart, he may have one or two things to say that I won't hear from any other place. I'm telling you. I told my wife, I said, look, he may have one or two things to say that I won't hear from anywhere else. So what am I going to do now? So she understood my enduring the bitterness. One day I bought a book by one man who I really don't like listening to more again because he's very, the way he preaches, not a bad person, he's a very good man. I know him, I respect him, I love him a lot. But the way he preaches, it kind of doesn't gel with me very well. He's very, very slow in building up and everything. So one day I bought his book. My friend in whose church I went to preach, where I bought the book from, said, why are you buying that guy's book? He knows that he's not my kind of person. I said, my brother, when a man be like this, he must have something he's saying now. Don't you think so? He says, I said, let me just read it and collect my portion. Lest, you know, one day you go to heaven, God will say, why didn't you operate this kind of matter? I said, I didn't know. He said, what do you mean? Didn't know? I told that guy to teach you now. I said, that one, he was very, the way he used to talk, I didn't like it. Then he goes, I give a slap of his. You know what I mean? Yeah, he slap your face like that. So I told my friend, let me buy it too. I'm not sure I ever finished reading the book, but at least I still have it. I said, let me buy it. I have some of his tapes now, which when I finish with this other man that I'm telling you about, I will go and endure. I'll listen to it. My friends, my wife, people have asked me, why are you bothering? I said, because you will go through many hours. There may be two or three things that he's the only person who knows it. He's the only person who's saying it. So where will I hear it from if I don't hear from him? So my friend, when I told him that, they said he understands. So that day, that was just about last week when I showed my wife that one. And he said, why are you bothering going through this headache? I said, well, it may just be said. And in all honesty, he has said a few things that nobody else have ever heard. Do you understand? I've said. That's the same man I told you said black people are stupid. He called us primitive, of low intelligence. And he dared anybody who didn't like to hear it to walk out of the church. I'm not, if you come, I will play it for you. When he finished saying it, I jumped to the next track. Because he knows something I don't know. I ignored all the insults to Pastor Banky. You call me stupid, your mama stupid. How can you call me of low intelligence? You call Barack Obama a goat. I shouldn't listen to you, but I understood, Sha. You preached the message long ago. That was in the 60s. So pardon him. He's a good brother. Amen. I love him. Now, ignorance. Everybody has some degree of ignorance. I get my own ignorance somewhere, just that it never manifests. Or you manifest where you know they. So you know go know. If you now reject me because you discover that, as if Pastor Frank, he doesn't know this one, will he be good? So we have mercy on his ignorance and his foolishness. Just like God loves him, we love him also. But we still endure him. You know, it's hard. Man, abuse you, abuse you, abuse you. You see, they. Why? Because, I mean, how many of you are working for wicked bosses? Have you resigned? Resign first. Landlord will resign you. Have you resigned? Because you know what you are getting. So the man insults me. He doesn't bother me. And it's not a personal thing. He doesn't know me. He didn't even know the CD was coming to Nigeria. We collected it from America and then sent it to Nigeria. He didn't know. What am I saying? I rejoice at thy word as him that finds great treasure. David said, I'm always happy when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. It doesn't mean that it's always a sweet experience. That's what I'm saying. Are you getting my point? That is how the word of God is to you and me. And listen, the word of God is not just about, I have read it, let everybody be happy. No, it contains three things. I invented these three things. Is that okay? That is, you may find somebody say it contains seven things. Somebody might say it contains 48 things. Banky says it contains what? Three. And my three things starts with P. It contains the promises of God, contains the procedures of God, and it contains the purpose of God. These are things I need for my life. Without the promises, I don't experience the manifestation of divine nature. That's what Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 1. I must know the reason why I'm alive. That's purpose. And there must be, Bible says that there is a proper procedure from every event. So when I enter into the word of God, that is what I am learning. Are you getting my point? You know, we talked about being born again at the beginning. Remember, we started talking about it. Let me explain that thing again. That Romans chapter 12 said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation comes into your life as your mind is renewed by the word of God. You are transformed into from sickness into health. You are transformed from poverty into prosperity. You are transformed from purposelessness into focus. Do you understand my point? And the joy of fulfillment. Only as your mind is transformed. And the transformation of the mind is only with the word of God. That's what reprograms your mind. We all come from different places. In my book, Choices Key to Destiny, I explain that thing. We all come from different places. There are those who come from homes where the father beats everybody from the mother down to the smallest child every day. There are those who come from homes where the mother is a tyrant of the family. There are those who come from home where father is a jaguda, mama a criminal. Yes. There are people like that. There are those who don't even know. You say, who's your father? What is a father? Yes. There are Nigerians. There are Americans. There are Ghanaians. There are Bolivians. I don't know why I like this Bolivia these days. There are people from all kinds of places. And where you come from forms your mind in a particular fashion. Are you getting my point? But God doesn't care about where you come from. That's why I didn't say, by force, you must have been born in America. No, he said, born down for Niger, it makes no difference. The moment he believes, we begin to transform his mind by the word of God. We start reprogramming his mind. That is the process of being born all over again. Because your first birth, all right, described where you came from, who your father is, who your mother is, who the people around you with. I discussed that in that book, Choice is Key to Destiny. God now said, now let's put you in another direction. What do? We give birth to you again. And we start reprogramming your mind. So whether you are Bolivian, Ghanaian, American, Nigerian, you know, from Niger, Cameroonian, when we finished, you all are conformed to the same image of Christ Jesus. Are you getting the point? There's nothing like in our place, this is how they do it. That was the old man. The new man learns how it is done in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, except a man is reprogrammed like that, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if he doesn't see it, he can't what? Enter. And entrance means that he begins to experience. Are you getting my point? He begins to experience the power of God in his everyday life. Listen to me. You don't force the power of God down into your personal life by plenty prayer. Did you hear what I said? You bring the power of God into your personal life by the renewing of your mind. What prayer does for you in that process, we've discussed this before. All right? Go and listen to our series, The Hundredfold Blessing. I discussed these things there. What prayer does for you is that it helps you because, you see, you can't by force change your mind, change your heart. You can't. What you can do is to acknowledge. Everybody say acknowledge.
Acknowledge.
Listen, you can never tell God, I won't steal again. I won't steal again. You will steal tomorrow. You will. You will tell God is that, my attitude has been that of stealing. I was wrong. It's called acknowledge. Are you getting my point? Listen, there's a difference between New Year resolution and just going to God and acknowledging that you're a sinner. The guy I'm feeling sorry for right now, who they are setting up for bigger mess. You know his name? Tiger Woods. Anytime I see the guy talking, I may be wrong. I pray to God I'm wrong. Tiger Woods. In fact, today I stumbled on one channel on my TV. When one girl was feeling very bad, that she thought she was the only one that had a special thing with Tiger Woods apart from his wife. So it was quite, it hurts, to find out there are many other girls like me, thief not get shame. Some thieves, they not get shame at all. You are sleeping with another woman's husband. And it is hurting you that the other girls doing it too. This word really don't crease. He said, no. I mean, she was being honest too. But this kind of honesty of madness is really worrying me. Hey, she was being honest. And the man was just there, he was explaining. He said, he's currently in therapy for sexual addiction. And I said, hell of it. Even the Europeans don't believe there's a disease like that. Yes. I was saying the European psychiatrists don't believe there's a disease like that. Instead of the man to just say, he's saying it to a PS like, but I really don't think, they're still playing to the gallery, trying to view. Just go to church and kneel down and say, I'm of my father, the devil. I'm a sinner. I'm an adulterer. Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm sorry, I disappointed a lot of people. Is it disappointing people? David said, against you alone, oh God, have I sinned. This man said, I disappointed a lot of people. He lost endorsements worth $48 million. How much is $48 million? The man that's worth $1 billion. I said, this guy, better do real repentance now. Because the next one, say this one now, you have 12 girlfriends. Next one, you go see 16 girls with big belly girls, she'll say, oh God, now papa be that. At that time, they will use their club, whack you out of the tournament permanently, that you're a disgrace. No, really. What God just said is simply acknowledge. What am I saying? That's what prayer does for us. We settle down and we acknowledge. It cleanses away the previous mindset and puts in the new one. Otherwise, the only thing that transforms us is the word of God. And that is why if a woman of God must grow in grace, Abba, it must be the quest. I mean, you have to, look, you know the way he said it? That I have judged your word more important than my necessary food. That's what Christianity is. That the word of God is more important than my necessary food. I tell Christians, that's one of the reasons God gave me the understanding. At least in Nigeria of today, I said, let's make our CDs and materials generally as cheap as possible, but I still don't want to give anybody free. No, I don't like to do that. I tell people, look, there's a particular CD you like, your friend likes another one, it's good. Buy different ones, especially when I go among students. I say, but buy. All of you buy, if you attend friends, buy 10 different CDs. Then start going over it You know, you when you finish, you swap around. Just swap around. It's not possible that you continuously drink in the word of God and your life will not be transformed. The experience of the power of God is linked to the transformation of the mind. Are you getting the point I'm making? It doesn't just jump. You know, sometimes I tell you that. I know what we have to do. We have to get back on radio and teach the word of God. But there are times when I get messages from those in Enugu that, Pastor Banky, please now come back on radio. I said, if you say that in my presence, I will come on my belt. They can beat you. You are in this Enugu. Must I be on radio? Where I am right now, am I in hell? Am I not in Enugu with you? You can't come here from your house. You are begging me to go on radio. Meanwhile, offering, not they send us. The only people I want to move for is those who are outside. If you are in Enugu, I feel like if you want to hear the word, come on, it's not a hard thing. This place there. See this day. There are places where you can get the materials. Because I know how God helped me those days. Once I hear this is where the word is happening. Until now, not those days. Till now. Once I hear this is where the word is happening. That's my next appointment. I told you if I can find somebody in this town who will be blessing me the way I'm preaching to you. And he said his own Bible class is also 5 p.m. on Saturday. Sorry guys. We just changed the date of this one. After I didn't discuss with you before I made it 5 p.m. on Saturday, did I? It was a unilateral. There's no democracy here. You didn't beg me to be a pastor. I didn't campaign to be a pastor. Did you see my blue poster in front of your house? Vote for me as a pastor. I will just come to you. You won't know. I say, well, it's been impressed upon my spirit that this Bible study can start by 3:45 on Saturdays. You will not have another agenda. Now I will begin preach 1 hour sharp. Because I know when the other guy starts. So that I drop microphone and abandon you. Why? Because no, I tell my wife this all the time. I say, what hurts me personally in this season of my life is that I know there are things I'm not doing correctly. Yet I don't know what those things are. Every man's ways are right in his own eyes. Do you understand the point? And I'm not stupid enough to think that I'm doing everything perfectly. The other day, I repented one repentance in my wife's presence, and she said, flesh and blood did not reveal that one to you. There was something about how I live with some people, you know. What I'm saying is that I know, listen, there's a message I preached, I think it was on Tuesday. By the time I finished preaching it, my life at this, I made decisions there on Tuesday. By the time I finished preaching, there was a time, I wasn't married then, this same wife I married now came to see me one day, and I was sharing the word of God with her. From 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. We're wedding then. That is, we're planning wedding actively. We're supposed to wedding maybe like in 4 weeks' time. You understand? So, there are some money issues and everything. So, that day, I was just sharing the word from 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. And when I finished preaching to her, I realized I preached to myself. And I used that word to act. And that solved all my financial problems. So, I lament. I say, hey. The way I'm preaching, look, that there's somebody that has a word that will change the way I think. And I know, and I'm not, what I'm going to tell you is a matter of fact, there are levels I'm believing God to step into, and God has tied it to repentance in an area. Unfortunately, I don't even know that area. You see, why does he not tell it to you? I really don't know why he doesn't, directly. It could be because of stubbornness, hardness of heart, deafness of ear, I don't know. But for one reason or the other, he also did not tell Cornelius. He told Cornelius to send for Peter. Did you notice that? So I have a Peter there, without whom I would not receive my Holy Spirit. And I know God has answered my prayer. When God gave me the car I'm driving right now, it was for ministerial and personal blessing purposes. It loads 6 MP3 CDs. So I just stack them. In fact, that man I was telling you about, one of his messages probably contained maybe like 40 messages. It's one MP3. I just shove it inside. So as I'm driving, I'm jumping tracks and listening. I go listen. When I don't tire, then I jump to the next track. Listen to Ke Franklin Small. Puyaka, puyaka, puyaka. Then I go back to... Yeah, I'm telling you. Because there's no life without it. I know. Look, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. And God is answering me as I'm even preaching and praying, because it's a matter of prayer. I know there is a word. In fact, I think there are two or three that will attack certain areas of my life, which when I finish drinking that word, God will say, now, Banky, those things that we promised, now we can release them into your life. And if I like, let me be preaching to you like this again and again and again, and I don't get my own word. All right? If I'm your Peter, I will keep giving you the word of salvation. You will manifest and say that, why is pastor still in the same level after 15 years? Why? Because he wasn't disciplined enough to go and grab his own word that would transform his life by transforming his heart, by renewing his mind. When that would have been done, that's when his life would have gone to another level. It's not by struggles. I've learned that one. In fact, when I slip into struggles, it is because of backsliding from the word of God. Are you getting my point? It is because of backsliding from the word of God. For those who make church activity as their primary goal in life, Lord have mercy on them. I'm telling you, nobody can activate me in church so as not to hear a word. I have seen people that you know where your Peter is. You know where he's preaching. And you will tell me, you know, at that time I did get choir practice. I never feel bad. I'm like, wait, what thing concern me? Do you get my point? To sing in choir, is it good? Yes. To cook for Jesus Christ, is it good? Yes. But Jesus told Martha, Mary has chosen the good part. If I were the one, I would say, wait, this choir practice, now go wait. I will rejoin choir in 2 years' time. Yeah, no, I'm serious. Between now and then, choir practice that holds at the time I'm supposed to go and listen to my Peter, not now. The mother of Jesus Christ showed up. Jesus didn't go because more important things were going on. Are you getting my point? So me, I don't understand. Look, if you like, if church activity is the reason why you were born, you know, go and check, pastors, they generally live shorter lives than average people. The life expectancy amongst pastors, in my opinion, is slightly shorter than that of the congregation. They are not laying down their life for the congregation. It's stupidity and ignorance that's killing them. Because people think that, once I am the pastor, God will pass my house specially. I lie. Whether you were a priest or not, the day of Passover, if you didn't paint the blood properly, you're on your own. No? You're on your own. You have to dip the blood, kill the animal well, chop it well, dip it, and paint it. They won't say, no, those are the priests in Israel. These are the prophets. I've been prophesying that the redemption will come. The angel said, where the blood? He not get. Give me my sword. Kill him. Is he a firstborn himself? They kill him, then kill his son. He said, but he was such a kind priest. He was such a kind prophet. Every time we will come, he will pray and prophesy. This angel of death not get, he has no respect. The angel of death said, in Aruana, waiting concern me, concern whether it be. They gave a small, simple, and straightforward instruction. Dip the blood and wipe it. My own, look, my eye, the code in my brain is just for red blood of young lamb. I don't see how I kill. Till today, that's what's going on. If you don't paint the word of God, do you understand? All over your face, that's in your heart. If you don't take that word, drink it, and let it infuse into every part of your being, when the angel of death comes, says the senior pastor, okay, give us a bigger sword. His neck must be thick. Please, I hope you've understood what I've said. I think anything I say beyond this one will be my own message. I think I've finished preaching the message of God. I hope you've learned something today.